Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. I apologize to you for the laryngitis, but I'm hoping to squeak through this hour and to even get better as the time goes by. Sometimes healing comes while we're still breathing, and sometimes it comes after our last breath has left us. Are you blocking your own healing? Do you know how to tune into your intuitive self to guide you to wholeness? Hospice nurse Becky Hawkins will share stories of her visits with patients, and Dr. Susan Allison, energy empowered healer, will impart to us how we can remove the blockages that impede our own healing. It's going to be a powerful hour. Stay tuned for the whole show. You do not want to miss a tidbit. So let's talk to Becky first. Welcome, Becky.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here with you.
Well, I'm glad to have you. And being a hospice nurse and a hospice chaplain is quite a challenging job.
Yes.
And you've been doing this for how many years?
30.
Oh, my goodness. And are you retired now?
I am.
Okay. And are you still doing your writings?
Yes. Yes. I still pen an article for the local newspaper every week called Beyond Statistics, because I still visit people. I'm still doing funerals. I'm still at bedsides. We live in a small community, and people will just call me and ask me if I will come and be with them. So I just visit people now.
Uh-huh. And that's much more relaxed. You don't have to worry about all the procedures and all those things. So that's good.
Yes, it is. Now I can concentrate on trying to get this book and these stories out to people, and I'm heading back to Scottsdale this time to write book number two, because as you can imagine, 30 years, I have a lot of stories.
Oh, yes. And Sedona or Scottsdale is a good place to write.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, I was there in Sedona last December, and it was very energizing and very healing. So it's a good place.
It is. I love it. I go every year.
Uh-huh. I wish I could. So let's talk about the work that you do. What made you decide to be a hospice nurse? Because it's not something people often easily pick.
I was drawn to it because of being able to, it seemed to me, to connect to the patient and the family members in a deeper way as you are being present to them and trying to help them through that process, that journey of the dying process and of course at death. I also felt like I was a midwife to the other side.
That
not in a sense of pushing or pulling or forcing, but
right.
In being with a person so that you could journey with them as far as possible. They blessed me with so many stories, pre-death visions, near-death experiences, that it changed my life. And I found as I was writing this book last year that as I was bringing all this up again and pouring through these journalings and these articles, that it was re-educating me and drawing me even deeper into my meditation time, my prayer time, and opening up, you know, my heart even more. And I thought, if this is doing this for me, I know it can do this for other people too. That's my hope.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had anybody who did pass over come back and visit you in dreams or visions after they left?
No, I've never had that happen. I believe that that can happen, though.
Oh, yes.
I definitely felt my mother's presence near me after she passed, and then my brother, too. I felt his presence. Dreams of maybe not with any messages or anything, but just seeing them from perhaps childhood memories or recent memories, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I read in the book how you were not able to be present with your mom when she passed, and how, you know, that was kind of sad for you because this is what you do, but you were able to accept that and move on. How did you do that?
It was a process of understanding that the outcome was where it needed to be. Whenever I think you really try to be present to what the big picture is and not it just be about me, because that's what it was about at that moment. I felt like, oh my gosh, I left out. I wanted to be with her. But I thought, she is with me. Mm-hmm. She is with me now. And so I did communicate with her. And it took me a little while to get past that. It took me a few days. But then I began to realize that perhaps she even may have wanted it that way, where she could just go without having to break my heart with the process of trying to be a nurse and a daughter. You know,
right.
I don't know. But it was a blessing in a sense that she did not suffer. She went quickly. And I was glad for her to be able to move on.
Yes. Well, I've often, as a minister myself and a therapist, people, when the family members leave to go get that bathroom break or that cup of coffee, that's often when they go. And I think it's for that very reason, that it's time.
I agree. I have seen that on more than one occasion, yes, mm-hmm. where they have not left the bedside, and then go for a drink of water, a cup of coffee, or like you said, a bathroom break, and that loved one pass on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, we understand it, like you said, in hindsight, that that was what they needed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And to not judge it.
Mm-hmm. I am called into bedside situations where somebody's lingering when, you know, everything medically says they should be gone and they're still there. And then I go communicate with them to find out what's unfinished. What do they need to do? And
yes.
It's very interesting because there are ways they communicate with us very clearly if you know what to look for.
Right.
And then when they tell me what it is, then we work to resolve that. And they're gone within a very short period of time, very peacefully. Everybody feels completed. And it's such a privilege to be able to do that.
Yes, yes. And what a blessing that you are able to do that and to help not only that loved one who needs to pass over, but also those family members who are at the bedside, very weary. Mm-hmm. From being there and wanting their loved one to be at peace, that is a gift. And like you said, it's just a gift to be present to that time, being mm-hmm. with that patient and those family members. People ask me, why don't you do something different? why do you want to hang out with dying people? And I said, oh, you have no idea the rewards that are there within the whole process. Yes, it's hard, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Oh, no, no. You're in a very holy place when
yes,
you're in their presence. Mm-hmm.
I've mentioned that to people, that you feel like you're on the holiest ground. But
yes.
What some patient helped me to understand was, she said, Becky, you understand that all of us have that divine spark within us. So no matter where you're standing on holy ground. Anytime you're having an interaction, conversation, an exchange with anyone, because indeed the divine spark is there and it's all holy ground. And I had never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm. There was a family I worked with. The daughter was a nurse and the daughter's husband was a physician, and the dad was dying of Alzheimer's complications. And we got the hospital to allow us to not do any heroic measures, just let them peacefully come and go. And we were able to communicate with him. And it was a very peaceful, loving passing. And one you could just never imagine, you know, somebody who has Alzheimer's, they can't communicate. But, yeah, they can.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of mystery that can be opened up and understood if we'll just be in the presence and not try to do things.
Yes, yes. Be present and be aware of their needs and their wishes, their desires, their fears, address their fears, and helping them through that. A good hospice team, hopefully, can do that for people. We need to educate the public even more about what hospice is really about. And this part of the world, too, has so much fear of death. And I'm hoping with this book to help them with these stories to understand to not be afraid to live your authentic life and to not be afraid when it's time to transition.
Right. I agree. I know I was with my mom. She was in hospice. And she'd had a wonderful day. Everything was going well. And she was in pain, so I gave her the morphine as instructed. And two dosages later, she just peacefully passed on. And I was there watching TV, and, you know, I looked over at her, and all of a sudden she wasn't moving, and it was like, oh, I guess she's gone. So
yes. And that's a good thing when one goes without any noise or any crying or any discomfort, that they just peacefully make that transition. That's a beautiful gift.
Yes. Well, speaking of transitions, it's time for us to take one. It's time for a break. So let's take a break, and we'll talk some more when we come back.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Step up to the microphone. View the finalists right now on VoiceAmericaKids.tv. America's next great star is waiting to be discovered. Step Up to the Microphone is an exclusive presentation for VoiceAmerica.tv, where you can see and hear America's next top child star. The program is hosted by Voice America's own Cassie Frazier, and new episodes will be available every week exclusively at VoiceAmericaKids.tv. You can say you saw them at the beginning of their superstar career. Tune in to VoiceAmericaKids.tv.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative, self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We're talking with Becky Hawkins, hospice nurse and chaplain, about her experiences of working with those in hospice and their family members. Who would have thought that the end of life could hold so many treasures? What are some of the treasures that you gained, Becky, from doing this work?
I think some of the treasures that I have gained are the lessons that they have taught me or brought to me. Like one gentleman had a deep regret that he had been angry with a former friend for over 40 years. And he said, you know, I wish that I would have made amends earlier. He said, I don't even remember now for sure what it was about, but he said, I've decided I'm going to try to connect with him and forgive him and forgive myself and to try to make that peace. So they remind me that each day is precious and that we need to reexamine if we are holding on to old wounds, holding on to old memories that are not really serving our higher purpose in any way. And that we need to understand how precious our relationships are and that we are here with purpose and we're here on purpose, that we're just not a mistake. You know, people have been told sometimes you were born a mistake. Mm-hmm. And so it's important. I think the words that we used, we need to choose them carefully, how we take care of one another, how we take care of the earth, how we take care of the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, that it's all very precious. And even if you live to be 110, it goes by quickly. Mm-hmm. So they have helped me to understand the value in being me and that I don't need to try to be anyone else, that I just need to be who I am and live my life fearlessly and to enjoy life and to be sure I include humor in my life and relaxation. And then however I can serve someone else and bless them, and not for reward, but for because you know it's the right thing to do. Because in the end, we don't take anything with us, physical, but it's the love that's woven into the DNA of our spirits, of the relationships that we've had. That's what we carry forward with us.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of relationships, if we're talking about families, if a family has time to prepare for a loved one's death, how is that different from maybe people you've worked with who their loved one died tragically and suddenly? You know, is it better on the families that they have time, or is it long, drawn out, and harder?
I just had an acquaintance, a friend, pass away suddenly from an auto accident 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I was visiting with his wife, and she said that, you know, she felt like that was harder than he had cancer a few years before. Then in the thought of, well, with him having cancer, she would be able to say everything and they would work towards the end if the end came. She said, you know, I think I was saving some of that. And I tried to assure her that she could continue to communicate with him and that he would be able to hear her. But those are some of the things that people share with me. Sometimes they feel robbed of a loved one that passes suddenly from a heart attack or an accident. You know, something that takes them quickly. Other people say that they feel like that's a blessing because they didn't suffer,
right,
but that they still miss out on wishing that they would have some of that physical time to express to that loved one. So this is, in a sense, a blessing to these people that have this bedside vigil going on. Mm-hmm. If they're able to emotionally, spiritually, you know, do that, you know, I urge them, you know, visit with your loved one, share stories, you know, your friend, because people will come to you and say, what am I supposed to say? I let the patient guide me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do they want, because they will tell you sometimes, I don't want to talk about dying. I want to talk about what Susie did in the dance recital last night.
Uh-huh.
Or someone else will say, I need to talk about my funeral, but nobody will talk to me about it. Will you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
So let them guide you and help you to understand where you can communicate with them, and maybe there's something they want to say, or perhaps there's something that you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very precious, valuable time.
Yes, yes. One of the things that we used when my mom was in hospice is a thing called Care Pages. It's a online blog that you can write, and you can send it to everybody rather than having to send individual emails or call everybody. And we just did a daily update, or, you know, every couple of days, so that everybody knew what was happening. And then when I was diagnosed with cancer 3 years ago, we created one for me so I didn't have to explain to everybody, including my clients, you know, this is what's going on. I'm okay. Please don't wish me dead. You know, life goes on. And it's been a godsend to have that way to express myself.
Yes, yes. That's a wonderful idea. It's like you said, you know, there's only so many times that you can take a phone call, especially if you're weary,
yes,
from treatments or from medication or whatever, in trying to tell someone the story again. So that, mm-hmm, I think, is a valuable tool.
Mm-hmm. What would you say to loved ones who want to help when somebody's in hospice, but they don't know what to do? They don't know what to say. What would you recommend?
They have taught me that one of the most important things that we can say is, I am here.
Mm-hmm.
Guide me in any way that you would want to. And then to also visit with family members who are at the bedside, because many of them are weary,
yes,
from doing that vigil. You know, can I do a load of laundry for you? May I bring in some soup and sandwiches this evening? Mm-hmm. Can I go to the post office for you, perhaps, and mail some bills? Would you like for me to mow the yard? You know, there's all kinds of things that could be done, but sometimes people are hesitant to ask. So I always tell these visitors who ask me this, bring a list with you and say, these are the things that I can do. Please tell me how I may serve you. Allow me to bless you in this way. Tell me which one of these things would be most beneficial to you. I am eager to do this for you. Yeah. So I just urge, that's what I urge people to do, is to be honest and communicate to the family members, especially if the patient is too weary to visit about it. Because sometimes they don't care what you do or what you want, don't want to do. They just want to be still. So, you know, just look at the big picture there and think about, you know, what you can do. Mm-hmm. And especially with bereavement, people will ask me, what am I supposed to say? Mm-hmm. There's not a lot you can say, because it really doesn't make it a lot better. But what they, the family members, tell me over and over again, that the only line that they've ever heard that doesn't cause them discomfort is, I'm so sorry. Now, of course, everybody's an individual, and that might make someone else very uncomfortable, but that for the majority, over 30 years, that's what I get. You know, too many of us tried to say too much at that time. Yeah. When our presence is worth more than anything we can say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I tell people after I've done the funeral, I said, that's the most important time. It doesn't matter that you say the right things during the bereavement initial period, but you need to do something afterwards. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, show up. Don't ask, can I bring you some food? Know what their favorite food is and just show up at the house and hand it to them and don't stay unless they want to talk. But just do it.
Because what
people would ask me is, what do you want me to do? I said, ask me if I've eaten today, because I don't remember if I have or not.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And then a friend of mine drinks the same kind of soda pop that I do. And I said, could you at work leave a couple of extra in there? I'll pay for it. She don't have to pay me for it. I said, it would be so nice to have that treat, to not have to think about, gee, I'd really like to have, but I have to go buy it and have to go leave for work to get it. And so she did that for me. And that was wonderful.
Yes, a small gesture like that, and it meant so much.
Mm-hmm. And people don't realize that family members still have to sometimes, like I was operating on 3 hours of sleep, taking turns in between the sitters with my mom, and then going to work all day and trying to stay awake and function. And it's really, really hard for the family members.
Yes, it is. It's very, very hard work to be at the bedside of a loved one that's dying.
Yes. And people think that hospice is coming in. They'll be there all the time. Oh, no. Hospice comes in a couple of times a week if there's an emergency, but they're not there 24/7.
No. No, it's the family. When people say that to me, I just think so much of what you do and how you are with these people. And I said, well, the ones you really need to be thinking about are the family members.
Yes.
I said, because they're there 24/7.
Yes.
We're in and out. We see so many, but we can't be with one 24/7.
No.
Unless it's private help that's been hired to come in. So, yes, it's the family.
They gave me a booklet of what to look for when the end is near. That was so helpful. I don't know if you use that in your work.
We did. Yes, we did. And some families were so happy to get it, and some people would just lay it aside. And I would tell them, you may want to pick it up later. You don't have to read it right now. But just having that accessible, you know, when they want to look at it, is worth a fortune.
Yes. And just because somebody's showing the signs that death is imminent doesn't mean it is. They can rally back around.
Right. Oh, they do everything. And that's what, you know, people will say to me, can you tell me how long mother has? No.
No.
Because I've done this long enough to realize there are no crystal balls.
No.
Not until a vital organ is beginning to shut down. Are you sure that it's getting ready to happen pretty soon? Because they will hang on. When you think there's not one breath left, not one heartbeat left, and they will hang on if they have a reason. Or if you think, oh, they've got 2 or 3 weeks or more, you know, they may go.
Yes.
So, I'm not good on predictions at all. I just tell people they're done when they're done.
Yeah, my mom was at death's door. They were called in, and they said, it's about over. And then she lived another 5 months. So.
Oh,
we just never know. Well, this has been wonderful, Becky, but I'm sorry we have run out of time, and it's time for us to go to break. So thank you so much, and I'm going to, at the end, tell them how to get your book, okay?
Thank you so much, Dr. Melanie. Bless you, and I hope your throat gets better real soon.
All right. Thanks so much. Let's go to a break.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you, or is someone you know, struggling with life? Do you know that your subconscious beliefs play a big role in the outcome of your hard work? We can help you to permanently change your beliefs that may not be in alignment with your goals. We care about getting you a return on your investment. We can help you reach your goals easily and quickly. Contact us at BeliefMantra.com. That's BeliefMantra.com.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We were talking with Becky Hawkins. You can go to her website, ladyhawkpublishing.com, to communicate with her and find out how to get her book. And now, Dr. Susan Allison, energy healer and therapist, who's had the unique privilege of laying hands on her husband's body to facilitate the removal of a cancerous tumor. She's going to tell us about it, and she's going to tell us about being an empowered healer and how you can learn to do the same methods that she does. So welcome, Susan.
Thanks so much, Melanie. It's great being here.
Yes, and I've been reading your book to help my throat.
Wonderful.
Yes, and it's better already.
Good.
In just this hour, so I'm very happy about that. So how did you become this empowered healer?
Well, you know, my book is actually about you and all your listeners and all my readers being the empowered healer, which I say in the introduction of the book. And yes, I can heal people and have been able to since I was a child, but it's become more and more important to me as I've grown older to really teach everyone how to do this, because then you are empowered, Melanie. Your listeners are empowered. My readers are empowered. The whole planet is empowered to heal themselves rather than having to go to a practitioner or, you know, I feel like we give our power away over and over and over, whether it's to doctors or it's to politicians or it's to our favorite movie star or sports star who tells us to buy something. So I'm in very, very invested in teaching people everything I know about healing, and then they are the ones who are empowered.
Okay. So this ability that you have that you're sharing and teaching others, is it something you were born with, or did you get told at a young age this is something you're going to do? How did you become aware that you have it?
Well, you know, as a child, it was never named, but I just had this such a strong impulse to help people who are suffering or people who are in any pain. And I just had so much compassion as a child that my mother was worried about me that I was too sensitive. And I used to put my hands on my mother who had an ulcer, and then she would say that the pain was gone and she felt great. And she also had migraine headaches. My father also had some various problems, including an ulcer also. And I would just put my hands on them, and I'd put my hands on our animals and heal them. And I did, you know, feel close to God when I was a child. I felt like there were angels around me, and I even felt that I was flying around over our house with these angels. And I told my mother this, and she sort of patted me on the head and said, "That's nice, dear." But right. I don't think people ever really took me seriously. And it was never named. It was just this desire to help people, even like taking juice and water to men who were picking oranges in front of our house. And they just seemed so tired and thirsty, and so I took trays of drinks down to them, and it's just who I've been since I was a child. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Oh, it does. Yes.
Since I was very small.
Yes. Well, I think the best way for the listeners to understand what you are trying to teach them is for you to lead us in a visualization of a body scan. Can you do that in a few minutes'
yes.
time?
Yes, okay. I can. And I think that listeners should know that this is it's a four-part series of steps that we're going to talk about later, but that one warm-up, I call it a warm-up to really get used to doing this, is the body scan. So if you're not driving a car, because I don't want you to be in danger, if you are able to close your eyes, and of course you can listen to the archived show later and do this, but for now, if you can close your eyes and take a deep breath, and I like people to take a breath from down around the navel, because you can really breathe deeply to take a breath in, and breathing in some trust in the process and some trust in yourself, and then breathing out anything that doesn't serve you. Just breathing out any fear, any doubt, just letting it go for now. And maybe taking one more breath in, just to relax yourself, and breathing it out. And then we're not going to do every part of the body because it would take too long, but I'd like you to just start at the top of your body, to start with your head, and your neck and your shoulders, to start in that area, and your throat, to start in that upper part of your body. And just really, really notice, just let yourself be conscious just of that part of you, what's going on in the area of your head and your neck, your throat. And just notice if there's any tension, any tightness, if there's any pain there, or if there's just any energy that is trying to get your attention, because the body never lies and it's trying to get you to pay attention. So I'd like you to go to whatever is drawing your attention the most in that part of your body, and asking the question, do you have any message for me? Is there anything that you're trying to express to me through this sensation that I'm feeling right now? And let's just see what comes. And of course, you can repeat this anytime later at home, or every day, in fact, to really scan your body. You scan it for any sensations and any messages. And so just keep going, and I think we'll go just to two more places. But go to the area of your heart, the area of where your lungs, your heart is, the area of your chest. And just see if there are any sensations, anything there that you're sensing. It could be tightness. It could be if there's any pain there, if there's any energy that's speaking to you there in some way. And then ask the same question. Do you have any message for me right now? And then the other place, and of course we're moving much more quickly than I usually would, but the other place is in your abdomen. It's right below your rib cage, and it's your solar plexus, and it's your power center for people who know about the chakras. And so your solar plexus, your abdomen, often has messages. It is your gut. When people say, my gut feeling is. So just go to that area. See if there are any sensations there, any feelings, and see if there's a message. What is your gut? What is your stomach, your abdomen, your solar plexus telling you right now? And so just taking a breath in, this is probably all we have time for, but you can do this anytime, and you just keep your eyes closed for a moment, but you can do this anytime you want. I'm setting the intention that this will be effortless for you. You'll be able to do it anytime you wish, and you'll be able to go to whatever part of your body is calling you, whatever part needs to give you a message, whatever part needs healing. And so just breathing that in, that intention in, and knowing that it's true, and taking another breath, and coming all the way back here, and when you're ready, you can open your eyes.
Excellent.
Did you get any messages, Melanie?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Wonderful.
I'll work on those.
Wonderful. And I also recommend that you and your listeners write in a journal or write all of this down as soon as possible, because otherwise we forget and it escapes us. But to write the exact messages, because part of my work is that not only are we told what we must do, but then we need to take action and do it. So it's really important at some point for your listeners and for you, if you choose to, is to write down what you were told.
I did write it so I wouldn't forget it. I have a very particular question in relation to this whole procedure. I have chronic Lyme disease, and the majority of the people that I affiliate with that are in the same situation I am, we've had emotional trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And that emotional trauma affects the solar plexus, mm-hmm. and it affects our speaking ability. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if there's a universal thing that relates to all of us Lyme patients that would affect those areas. Is there something universal that's being blocked in your intuitive perception?
Yeah. I'll just tell you what's coming up for me right now is that you go to the original wound that, and I'm getting goosebumps, so I know that that's probably true, that you go to the original wounding and you heal that. And if I were working with you, I would have you go into trance. I would have you journey to the part of your body where you're holding that original wound, or you're holding whatever it is that's keeping you from healing. And we would go there, and I might have to do some regression work where we go back to the incident, we go back to what happened, but that there is a clearing of that original wound. A lot of the people who come to me who are ill, There is a trauma that has happened, and it's something that's not been resolved, and it's often to do with loss. There's often a loss. Somebody has died, or there's been a loss of innocence, or a loss of trust, or a loss of self-esteem, or a loss of something real, a real person, or a real situation, or a real object, like one's home. So I feel that's really important, and this is part one of my book, is that you need to clear whatever is blocking you from healing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree with that 100%. And I've had the regression work done. I've yep. done the EMDR. I've done the Psy-K, and they've all been helpful. But the process I'm doing to retrain the cells in my body through advanced cell training, I think, is the most helpful.
Great.
Because it connects the physical symptom directly with the emotion.
Yes.
And so I look at, okay, what does that physical symptom relate to?
Yes.
And it is very powerful and very revealing.
Awesome. Fabulous. Yes. You know, in the work that I do it all through the body. I mean, it's all somatic work. You know, and so there is a case in my book where somebody does, like, go to their cells.
And yes.
Their cells. And so that's the kind of work I do as well, that people go and they speak to whatever it is in the body that is the symptom. And right. then that is where the information comes.
Yes, definitely.
Fabulous.
Why don't we at this seems to be a good breaking point. Why don't we take a break now? When we come back, we'll talk about the specifics of the steps that you take to do this healing process. Okay.
That'd be great.
All right.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
March is Social Worker Month, a time to remember social work heroes like Nobel Prize winner Jane Addams, Secretary of Labor Frances Perkins, and civil rights leaders Dorothy Height and Whitney Young. They all helped make this nation great. You can too. If you're a professional social worker, the National Association of Social Workers provides a unique network of your peers. If you're thinking about becoming a social worker, NASW resources can help you explore your options. Social work is the profession of hope. Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at advancedcelltraining.com. That's advancedcelltraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We're talking with energy empowered healer, Dr. Susan Allison. Let's find out how you can do the process that she has learned to do to help you get better. So, Susan, let's talk about this four-step process. What's it all about?
Certainly. Let me just say, though, that this process came to me over 20 years.
Oh.
So it's not something that, and sometimes things do come to me in dreams, and sometimes they're sort of divinely downloaded, and I'm sure your listeners who are listening to your show know what I'm talking about. But this has been over 20 years, so that step one came to me, and I used it with clients, and they would get better, but then I realized I would add step two. And they got even better. And then step three, even more success. And then step four came in. And it's over years of school and, you know, education and training and practice on clients. And I want to just honor the clients that told their stories in my book, because they are the ones who encouraged me to write this book. And they are the ones I practiced on and came up with this, I think, in what people are calling a miraculous four-step process, they helped me do that. So I wanted to give that background.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. So the steps are, the first step is that you relax, and it's however you relax. And I tend to use the breath to help people relax. You close your eyes and you turn inward. You visualize the part of your body that needs healing. Now, you may have physical issues that you're drawn to, or it may be something emotional. It's not just physical issues that this works with. If you have depression or anxiety, you're usually holding it someplace in your body. So you can go there in step one to the place where you have some physical or emotional holding going on in that part of your body. Step two is that once you get there, you explore and you go towards whatever is drawing you there. And it can be an energy, a color, an object. And in my book, there's like so many lists of the things that people have seen and experienced when they go inside. So then you dialogue in step two with whatever it is that you're drawn to or that you find. By dialoguing, you ask, why are you here? Do you have a message for me? And what do I need to do to get you to leave? So you dialogue with this entity and you will get answers in your mind. Mm-hmm. That's step two. Step three is that you then see if the object is willing to leave. Sometimes with my clients, it just goes on its own. sometimes you have to remove it, you have to extract it. But it's only after you have agreed to do what it is that the object entity energy has asked you to do in step two. So it's, I call it, let's make a deal. So you make a deal with whatever it tells you has to change in your life, and you say, yes, I will do that. And then in step three, it's often willing to leave. If you need to help it, you gather it up, and this takes too long to explain, but you'll find it in my book. But you gather up the energy and you send it up into the cosmos to be rendered harmless. And this is a process that you do on an energy level. Then in step four, after whatever is there, you've removed it, because it may be trying to help you change your life, but it does not belong in your body. And so you have to get it out of there. So step four, there's going to be more of a vacuum in there. You've removed whatever doesn't belong, and you need to bring in some healing. And so you bring in light and color, and I have people do it for the top of their head. You bring in light and color from the divine or from spirit or the universe or love or energy, whatever you believe in. You bring that light down, whatever color is just perfect for that part of your body, and you bathe the whole area in healing light and until it feels just right, and you return the area to normalcy. That's step four.
Okay. Well, what happens if somebody finds out what they need to do, but they're not ready to do it? What happens?
Well, there's a case in the book that I tell about a woman who came, and she was clearly told what she had to do, which was just about change her entire life. And, you know, it was an incredible session, and she'd been in pain for years. And it was stomach pain, and it was the doctors could not diagnose what was causing it. Absolutely couldn't find anything wrong with her, but she was in excruciating pain. Well, she left my office after one session completely out of pain. But then she did not do what she was asked to do, and she agreed to do. She didn't do it. And within 3 days, the pain came back.
Uh-huh. Heavy price to pay.
And, you know, I want to follow up by saying this same client, though, a year or so later, 2 years maybe, came back and dealt and got the same messages and changed her life. And her story is in the last part of my book, where I say that this is what happens when you follow through. Because there really is a fifth step. You know, I say there are four steps, but there's kind of a hidden fifth step. The fifth step is that you have to take action. You have to do what you were told. And it might mean your relationship has to change. Your job has to change. You have to, you know, do some things with your health that you're not doing. And if you do those things, you get well. I've seen it over and over and over. But if you don't do it, basically you don't get well, and sometimes you get worse.
Yes. Yes. I agree. Yeah. What happens if an entity doesn't show up when you're doing step three, you know, helping beings I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. So let me explain what I meant by entity, because let's say that, I'll give you an example that and it's in the book. Someone had intense anxiety, and I won't go into the background, it takes too long. But basically, she did the steps and she went inside, and in her stomach was this blue kind of octopus creature.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called the happiness gobbler. And it was gobbling up all her happiness, and she had to negotiate it with it and talk to it. So sometimes an entity will show up like that. And you can also call on helpful spirit allies to come help you, which I help people learn how to do in part two of my book. So sometimes there is something inside that's an entity that doesn't belong there that has to be removed. And there also are beings you can call on to help you remove it. Now, if you meant that you do the journeying and you don't find anything, usually you just have to keep probing, because it'll be something very subtle. It'll be an energy. It'll be mist. It'll be a color. There'll be something there that's drawing your attention, let's say, and you just move towards whatever is causing you to be curious. You go towards that, and you will get a message from whatever that is.
What happens if the message is it's not to be removed right now?
And that happens.
That happened to me. It was
yes.
like, okay, I'm ready for you to go. It said, no, not yet. It's like, what?
Did you, Melanie, did you get a reason? Did you get a reason why it was hanging in there?
Yes.
Okay. And you don't have to share it, but I just want to say that there is a case in the book that actually there's a transcript for someone with blocked arteries. I did the whole transcript of the session. And she was told, or she felt, she said, there's more to do here. Mm-hmm. I have to do more here, but this is enough for now.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that the same client often is told, no, we're not leaving yet because we don't believe you're really going to change. And she often wasn't doing what she was told, but she was sort of trying to cheat. She was trying to kind of do it her way and not do what she was asked. And they didn't trust that she actually would take action. So they said, no, we're going to, and Bernie Siegel says this, you know, it's like God's reset button, that you're going to hurt right now until you pay attention enough to really change.
And in my situation, they said, you have a date you must do this by. And I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it gave me a couple of weeks that I've got to do what I was instructed to do. And believe me, I don't want to be in the pain I've been in. So I'm going to do it.
So, good. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. You know, but, and that, yeah, go ahead.
But sometimes the answer is there's still much to learn.
You know, isn't that the truth? And it's progressive. It just takes the time it takes for all of us. And
yes.
it's our own learning curve. And so for some of us, you know, and I've seen this with my own life, my family, my clients, that we get this one lesson and we get it. And then, but then we're not totally getting it. So we get something else. And
right.
then we aren't totally getting all of it. And then something else happens. And it's, as humans, sometimes we don't take action until we're suffering. We
yes.
don't really change until we're in pain. Or we, you know, unfortunately, sometimes we get, you know, a little wiser as we get older and we just start to get some kind of symptom, whether it's physical, emotional or spiritual, we get this message and we change before we get the big hammer from the universe.
Yeah. I always say that the cancer I got 3 years ago was a gift. It changed the direction of my life.
Yes.
And I'm alive and happy and doing well, and I would not go back and change it.
So. Awesome. I hear that over and over from people, Melanie. And, you know, just I honor you for really paying attention.
Well, thank you. Well, what I want to do at this point, Susan, is to let people know how they can get a hold of you and how they can get your book. How can they do that?
Absolutely. You can get my book just about everywhere, but it's called Empowered Healer, Gain the Confidence, Power, and Ability to Heal Yourself. It is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and from your local bookstore. And there are 5 great reviews on Amazon if you'd like to read them. I love the book. It's taken me a long time to birth it, and it's helping, you know, thousands of people. And you also can contact me at drsusanallison.com, or you can go to empoweredhealer@comcast.net. If you'd like to email me, I'd love to hear from you.
Well, thank you very much, Susan. I truly appreciate you being on today. It's been very helpful.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Melanie.
All right. But now it's time to wrap up today's show. If you want to reach Becky Hawkins, go to LadyHawkPublishing.com. Next week, we're going to talk with a doctor who suffered a heart attack and a doctor who studies how fear and anxiety can be overcome. I'm teaching a workshop on meditation 4 Fridays in November in Tallahassee, Florida. I'd love to have you join us. Remember, to help yourself, help someone else. Until next week. Goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.